Welcome to this episode of The Sound of the State from the Illinois Senate Democratic Caucus. In Springfield, I'm Colby Hoff, joined on Zoom today by Senate Majority Leader Kimberly Lightford and State Senator Adrienne Johnson. December the 1st is Rosa Parks Day, honoring the civil rights icon, and our conversation today with Leader Lightford and Senator Johnson will focus on her legacy, as well as the impact that legacy has had on both senators. Leader Lightford, I'll pose the first question to you today. As the first Black woman to serve as Majority Leader in the Illinois State Senate, how has Rosa Parks paved the way for you to be in the position that you are in today?
Thank you for having this discussion and for having me on. When I think of Rosa Parks and her resiliency and just being a young woman during the civil rights movement, I cannot ignore that her voice had to have been a powerful voice and an important voice in creating change and equality in America. And I believe that that helped shape for me in my leadership role, my voice being relevant and important to the community and to the state overall, and actually being amongst peers who were willing to allow me to express my lived experience in hopes that it could continue to produce positive change for everyone.
Leader Lightford, could you share a time where you felt discriminated against as a Black woman and talk to us as well about how that felt and what you did to handle the situation?
I did work a job. It was in government prior to me becoming a legislator. And it was a position that was created to put more minorities in management and government. There were two slots, and I received one of the slots, and an Indian gentleman received another slot. And he and I were put in this internship position, a trainee position. And I learned that his pay was higher than mine. And I further learned after that, once we started the job, that there was another gentleman who was a Caucasian guy who did not have to go through the process that the Indian guy and I had to experience, nor did he have to do travel from downstate home, 4 months here, 4 months there, 4 months here. He just fell right into where we would be after our year-long training. And he was already making at least $15,000, $20,000 more than what the both of us were making as trainees. And I felt hugely discriminated against. At first, I felt because I was a woman, the Indian guy received more pay than I. We both were minorities. But then when we both learned that the Caucasian gentleman was making far more than the both of us in the same titles that we were in and didn't have to do a year-long training to get there, I hugely felt discriminated against. How did I deal with it? I didn't feel like I had the power to. I didn't feel like I had a voice, and I was unable to fight it. What I did was I chose to just work really hard to show that I was just as intelligent, that I deserved to be there, and that I deserved to receive the same pay that the gentleman was making that was quite significantly more than what I was. So I tried to work my way up.
Senator Johnson, one piece of the legacy of Rosa Parks is leadership and taking a stand in a new direction. Could you talk about some of the times in your career, both as a legislator and beforehand, where you stood up to lead in a new path or a new direction?
Thank you, Kobe. Thanks for the opportunity to amplify some of the great work of Rosa Parks. Yeah, I feel like I have been really intentional like Rosa Parks. And just recently, as a freshman legislator, I stood up to the energy giants to ensure that Illinois park districts weren't on the hook for full liability of property that's leased to them for recreational purposes. In fact, the bill that I passed, it was Senate Bill 3467, it prohibits land lease agreements that require park districts, conservation districts, or other local public entities with recreation departments or facilities that's leasing land from a public utility, for example, to assume full liability. And that's quite significant because I was getting a lot of pushback as a freshman legislator to not challenge the large energy companies, but it was the right thing to do because there is no way that a local park district, and there are some small districts too, particularly in rural areas, that have to assume full liability. And so I feel like Rosa Parks, sometimes you really have to stand up for what is right.
Senator Johnson, it's a disappointing part of our society that many of those groups do feel as though their voices aren't heard or represented. Could you share with us a time where you perhaps felt unheard as a Black woman and how you were able to wind up amplifying your voice as well as the voices of others?
I feel like there's been so many instances where this has happened. But just like Shirley Chisholm said, if you're not invited to the table, bring a folding chair. And there's been times when not only have I brought folding chairs, but I've had to bring folding tables. Because just like Rosa Parks, sometimes people don't listen to you and you're muted by the actions people take. And sometimes you have to be courageous. You just have to make sure that you are being heard. And the way that I've done it, as I said, I will bring folding tables, folding chairs to the table so that I'm heard and listened to. One example that I can think of, and this was prior to becoming a legislator, that we at an organization that I worked for, we didn't have a whole lot of minorities being hired. And I challenged the communications department to look at candidates who were qualified, but were Black or minority. And it was a challenge because it was a life sciences company and communications. And typically, I don't know if things have changed now, but they wanted individuals in that role to have a certain look, because these were public facing positions. And my point was finding the most qualified person to do the job. And so I continue to make sure my voice was heard. I was the one in human resources responsible for recruitment. And I made sure that I did my job by providing highly qualified candidates and that they had to take a look at it. Now they narrowed down the candidates, but they ultimately decided to hire the person who was not a minority and fit kind of the description that they were looking for. Well, I insisted that they take another look at this candidate because she was the most qualified, not only with industry experience, but with the skills. And they eventually hired the person because, again, I made sure I was at the table, that I was heard, and they listened to me. And it was really important. 3 months later, and this was 3 months of the manager not speaking to me, but after 3 months, and he had a chance to interact with this highly qualified Black woman, he said to me, "Thank you for insisting that we take a second look at this person and that we hired her. This is the best hire that I've had." And so if you don't stand up, if your voice isn't heard, then you're not going to get progress. You're not going to see change. And I feel like in that moment, like Rosa Parks, I did my part to make sure my voice was heard and unmuted.
Leader Lightford, history teaches us that Rosa Parks was a civil rights activist. Can you talk about some of the work that you are doing, perhaps in a similar vein, to provide equal opportunities for the African-American community, not just in your district, but in Illinois as a whole?
When I think of Rosa Parks, I know a little bit about her being harassed after the Supreme Court ruling. She had to relocate her and her mom and her husband to Detroit. And she lost her job as a result. And she had a lot of setbacks, but she was the mother of the civil rights movement. And when I think about me, I've got a few people, maybe more, call me the queen of education. And it's so enduring because when I think about her, I think about my career that I've had the opportunity to contribute to an integral part in the evolution of our state's education system, from making preschool accessible for every child to leading a complete overhaul of what was one of the most unfair education funding formulas in the country. And I've had the honor of fighting for our children's right to a quality education. And it's always been one of my top priorities to ensure that all students, regardless of their zip code or the color of their skin, receive a quality education and that they're treated fairly in schools. And I feel like that was the same fight that Rosa Parks felt at 30 years old and joined the NAACP in her hometown, kind of worked her way up through the NAACP and got to a place to help the Dr. Martin Luther King and the NAACP create a movement, starting with the boycott of the transportation system. So I do feel like I've played a role in our education system. I feel like that I've stand on her shoulders, and I love being called the queen of education.
Leader, talk to us about some of the ways that you feel you can relate to Rosa Parks today in all aspects of your life, as a Black woman in general, as a leader in the fight for equality, as a mother.
You know, I can certainly relate to her in that she was born in Alabama, and that's where my family is from, on my dad's side of the family. And at a young age of 30 years old, she really started with a movement within herself by saying, I'm going to join the NAACP, and I'm going to have a leadership role at a young age, becoming the secretary of the Montgomery chapter. But she didn't stop there. She kept moving, just kept fighting to the point of becoming the state of Alabama's secretary for the NAACP 5 years later, which means she was about her mid-30s. And I just think that I started those same similarities in terms of coming into the legislature at 30 years old and having dealt with some discrimination, but just continuing to just work through it and keep my head up. Because for Black women across the world, sometimes it's that same be seen and not heard. And you've kind of got to figure out how to fit in. And I know that her legacy will live on forever. Her resilience to not give in to systemic racism will also be always acknowledged at the highest esteem. And I feel like I'm in the same position as it relates to creating the pillar system most recently for the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus to rid Illinois of systemic racism, and acknowledging that there is still a lot of work to be done in the spaces of criminal justice reform, violence reduction, and police accountability, in healthcare and human services, in economic access, equity, and opportunity, and of course, in the subject that's most near and dear to me, in education and workforce development. And so I think her route to making a huge difference was through the one and only national organization for African Americans at that time that was really making strides, and to the point of creating what's known now as the American Civil Rights Movement. I don't know that I've created a national trend, but I have shared a lot of our laws that we've passed with other Black caucus members in different states across this country, and they're looking into implementing most of these laws in their state as well. So I believe I have a different approach. Of course, we're in different times, but I appreciate the tenacity in Ms. Parks, and she'll never be forgotten. And I hope to leave a legacy on the legislature in the state of Illinois as well.
Senator Johnson, taking a look around your general orbit, your world, your sphere, so to speak, is there any woman in particular who stands out, whether in politics or otherwise, who inspires and exemplifies some of the same courage as Rosa Parks did to you?
I can start off with women in the Illinois state legislature. For example, Leader Lightford. She is an amazing leader, amazing politician. She was instrumental in the architect behind the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus Four Pillars. I was just coming in as a legislator in October of 2020 and had an opportunity to work with Leader Lightford and the entire Black Caucus to get those four nation-leading pieces of legislation passed. So I would say Leader Lightford. If you look in my backyard, I would also say Representative Mary Flowers. She's one of the longest standing elected officials in Illinois. She happens to be a Black woman. She's been very productive and talked about unmuted. She has gotten so much done in her career. Leader Carol Ammons, too, for example, Representative Rita Mayfield. I would also say on a federal level, Maxine Waters. I mean, she has that same courage as Rosa Parks. I will always remember when Maxine Waters, who was having some challenges of individuals trying to mute her. And one thing she said that really stands out, I'll never forget. She reminded them, she said, and I quote, "I have the gavel and I'm not afraid to use it." And she speaks out and she speaks up, and she has gotten so much done on behalf of all Americans. And so I would say those are some women too. Also, Nancy Pelosi, I would say Senator Duckworth. There are so many women. And then on a personal level, my sister, B.J. Walker, I feel like I have looked up to her for many years. She's been involved in politics for many years. And just in her roles as the different jobs that she's held, working for governors, even in the state of Illinois, mayors of Chicago and Georgia, always exemplifying excellence and making sure that throughout her work, that not only was she unmuted, but that other ladies and young girls that's coming after her, they have the opportunity too. And she equipped them with the tools necessary for knowing how to stand their ground and make sure that they are not muted.
Senator Johnson, how do you feel that the influence of Rosa Parks and her legacy shows up in our youth today, particularly for young women? What does their future in leadership hold?
I feel like just with Rosa Parks' legacy, just making sure that she was strong and she stood up to all of the ills of the days that was going on. I feel like young women today, they know that their voices matter and make a difference. Rosa Parks' decision to not give up her seat on the bus was an intentional act. It was a courageous act and it was a courageous sacrifice. And her legacy is about having the strength to lead during tumultuous time and having the confidence to fight through that and to not be muted. And I feel like that's the legacy. And with young women today, I watch them, even my daughter, with the confidence that she has, knowing that we have so many great women like Rosa Parks who have fought for all of us and set the tone for ensuring that we were not muted, for ensuring that we are strong leaders that people respect, and that we do have a voice that matters. And that's a great legacy to have. And I look forward with great anticipation to watching these young leaders follow the lead of Rosa Parks and build on her legacy.
Leader Lightford, a two-part question here. First, how important do you see your voice as a Black woman in power? And second, what does the fight for equality look like for you today? I know you've touched on some of the work that has been done by the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus and that the caucus will continue to do. What does that fight for equality look like for you today?
Well, that fight for me today, it makes me think of the 50-year fight, right? When they were fighting for civil rights, and then I came into the legislature 50 years later. It makes me think of five generations of no educational justice, right? So how do we achieve educational justice? How do we now acknowledge all of the staggering shortfalls? These are real consequences. And how do we actually close the gap? And so my idea of all of that is to remain positive and be impactful in a way through my lived experiences and to continue to identify and share with my colleagues the cultural biases that are present in school systems and what we need to do to make it more likely that classroom discussions include a social justice orientation, because we're constantly building children up on inaccurate information in history. All children are not learning about all people. And until we are able to turn that dynamic around, we will continue to build racist behaviors, because children that are racist become adult racist. And we have to do a much better job of bridging that gap and creating more relationships that could disrupt how racism is passed on to the next generation. So that would be the focus and area and the way that I continue to use my voice in the legislature, with just enlightenment and trying to increase diversity in everything that we do and help to increase stability amongst the field of education, from management to the child in the classroom, from the teacher to the family, bringing everyone together to figure out how can we do a better job in making sure that school experiences for young people of color is not dominated by massive resource scarcity, by the disproportionate discipline practices, and to make sure that there's no diminishing expectations by majority white education and educators. So there's a lot of work yet to be done. And I look forward to doing that and doing the best that I can to lend my voice to fulfill a legacy very similar to our late and great and dearest Mrs. Rosa Parks.
Senator Johnson, you are early in your legislative career. Looking, perhaps if we can crystal ball into your future, what are some of the ways that you hope to leave a legacy that may be similar to Rosa Parks?
That's a great question, Colby. You know, as I mentioned, Rosa Parks, she was very intentional. A lot of people think that she was just this old woman who was tired and she got on this bus and she just had enough, enough was enough. But actually, that wasn't the case. She wasn't really that old. I believe she was about 42 at the time, and she really wasn't that tired. But she set out on that day to make a stand, and she was very intentional. So it was an intentional act. And I would say that I'm intentional about everything that I do. And that's my legacy. I think and plan. And Rosa Parks, she was a planner. This was not something that just happened overnight. She was an experienced activist. She was involved with the NAACP, and she had been involved in a lot of organizing different protests and rallies. And so I would say, for me, just making sure I continue to be intentional about what I do and thinking it through. Being a legislator and all the work that I do and that I'm going to do in the future, it's about building relationships so that you're able to leverage those relationships and get things done. So maybe to your point, I may not have to sit on the bus and not get up because the times have changed, and maybe it isn't anything like that. But I believe that continuing to be intentional about what I'm doing, making sure that I am persistent and getting things done and fighting for a great cause, and again, being very intentional and planning, putting service above self and people above self. And I feel like I've done that. And my legacy is about tackling some of these, what others consider insurmountable issues, so that I can ameliorate my community. And so I do that. And sometimes it can be quiet fights. It could be behind the scenes fights and battles. But being very intentional and keeping up with, as I said, these insurmountable issues that others may not want to tackle, but I will. And I'll continue to leverage those relationships that I have to make sure that we get things done on behalf of not only residents of the 30th District, but throughout Illinois. So however I can make a difference and change the experience for people, even the playing field, and most importantly to me is making sure that this work that I do is about evening the playing fields, but also making sure we are redistributing opportunities, redistributing privilege, and redistributing wealth so that everyone has an opportunity to be successful and to thrive and to be able to take care of their families. So however that happens, and what I do, like Rosa Parks, I will always be intentional about the work that I do. Rosa Parks was a dynamic woman. And if I can share a quote, is it worthwhile to reveal the intimacies of the past life? Would the people be sympathetic or disillusioned when the facts of my life are told? And I feel like Rosa Parks Day is an opportunity for young people and all people to really understand the impact that this one intentional act led to. She was indeed the mother of the civil rights movement, and I'll be forever grateful to being a part of building on that legacy. And I think Rosa Parks was also a lot like Shirley Chisholm, and that she was unbought and unbossed. And she did what was right for the people to make a change and to make a difference. And during her time, that was all I believe we know as a result of what happened to Emmett Till. And that was her way of saying, we need to make a change here. And I think every legislator, and I feel we have an obligation when you are in a position to make a change, that's what you ought to do on behalf of your people and all people, so that, again, we have a better place to live for everyone. And there's so much work that we have to do, so much more work to do.
Senate Majority Leader Kimberly Lightford, State Senator Adrienne Johnson, thank you for joining the conversation today on Rosa Parks Day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.